Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. It's been called an enticingly real-life artful mystery. From author Ken McGrath, the riveting The Secret Space in the White House. Over 40 years of meticulous research that shows a gradual unraveling of a secret conspiracy made to hide mystical information in the U.S. printed currency and an important government office. The $100 bill in the Oval Office of the President in the White House and on the new $1 bill, the current bill we use today. All of this from evidence and detailed research. Author Ken McGrath has interest in science, history, math, art, philosophy, and language. He began working in land surveying in 1973, public and private sector survey work, deed writing, survey mapping, land acquisition. He's earned the title of Master Mason, Gold Player, Second Dan, an accomplished chess player, a student of the Lemurian Fellowship, author of The Greatest Space in the White House, Ken McGrath, our guest on This Week in America. Ken, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us today.
Well, thank you for having me on.
So many interesting aspects. We will just touch the surface, so I encourage people to get a copy of the book, The Secret Space in the White House. It's available at Amazon. We'll talk about that throughout the program. Let's go back to where this all began for you. It's 1974, as I understand. You were 22 years old, working for the land survey company, a rodman, and you started measuring the back of a U.S. dollar. Let's talk about that experience and what you found, which led you on over 40 years of research.
Well, I had become very, very interested in the golden ratio, which is a classical proportion that you find in art and Greek temples and other places, and it appears elsewhere in nature too. But I started measuring everything from the box tops to cigarette packs to everything that had a ratio that was rectangular, doorways, everything. And I was laid off from work because it was a portion of the oil crisis, the oil crisis of 1973, and so there I was, and I saw the dollar, and I had recognized what I thought were at least two golden ratios on it by eye. And as I measured it with a scale, it turned out to be true, and it was very accurate, surprisingly accurate proportions.
You know,
later I moved on to, yes?
Yeah, which is because you say in the beginning of the book, this started like a hobby. This really has turned sort of like a lifetime quest for you, hasn't it?
Well, it was a thing that every time I started to put the idea away, okay, that's it. Now, there was something else I would discover.
Yes.
And I learned a lot of mathematics. I didn't know very much mathematics, and I was in a trade where measurement was the whole thing, you know, surveying. And eventually I moved on to dial calipers, and I found that the accuracy of the geometry on the dollar was at least one part in a thousand, if not more. So this is very, very surprisingly accurate. You don't find the golden ratio done like that except in certain architecture. So
what did
Yes,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
I wouldn't say I was that obsessed with it, but it had become a hobby. And I started filling little notebooks that I kept in my top pocket with mathematics and drawings, and finally I decided to write a book about it. I figured that's all there is to it. It's just one crazy guy in the U.S. Treasury Department that was etching this mystical stuff on the back of the $1 bill. That was it, so far as I could tell. So,
and it's interesting because that expanded. I mentioned this was one of three discoveries that you talk about in the book. The second one, the Oval Office, that came about, I believe, 2009? You're reading the works of a French writer, and suddenly the mystery thickens here as you realize what's going on in the Oval Office. Talk about that and how part two fit into place.
There was a theory by Pierre Berlequin, a Frenchman, that there was a 108-degree angle from the point-to-point tip-top parts of the Oval Office to the side, and he assumed that it was a Thales angle inside of two circular curves, and it turns out that this is not true. it's actually an ellipse. And his when I examined his art mathematically, it was very close, but it was not accurate. So I had to find out what the actual dimensions of the Oval Office were, and that was easy to find out. And when I examined it, I found that all those years of mathematics that I had done on the dollar bill were being reproduced in the ellipse of the Oval Office, which I thought was astounding.
Yes.
And I mean, there wasn't any reason why that would be, but apparently this explained why this other guy was doing this, and both of these guys were on the same page mathematically. They have the same things are built in the Oval Office that you find in the odd little things on the dollar bill. It's hard to believe, but that's part of what I wrote about, and even the fact that there is a profile of the Great Pyramid both on the $1 bill and also in the Oval Office cross-section to the east and west.
It's amazing as this unfolds, and you'll read all of this in Ken's book, The Secret Space in the White House, by author Ken McGrath. That's McGrath. Book's available at Amazon. You can link on directly information on the book by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. At this point, you've got these two mysteries that you're looking into, and you see a connection there, and then you're watching a movie. And suddenly led to the third connection. Talk about how that unfolded.
Well, there's a well-known movie with Nicolas Cage called The National Treasure.
Yes.
And it was sort of a conspiracy theory, but the interesting thing is it mentioned that on the illustration on the $100 bill of the clock on the Independence Hall, it was a time of 2:22. And that was interesting to me because I had noticed in examining the Oval Office dimensions that when you figured out from the feet and inches, the total inches from floor to ceiling in the Oval Office was 222. And then I went back to a discovery I had found on the dollar bill that if you took the face of the little pyramid's base, which is 0.55 inches, and you multiplied it by 4 for the total circumference of the little pyramid's base, it's 2.22. So it's the same, numerically, the same number in all three cases. So these guys are on the same page somehow, and there's some big tradition going on here.
No, it's interesting. It seems like the further you went in this, were you getting answers, or just was the mystery sort of taking on a life of its own at that point?
Yeah, that's more to the point. You can see that they're doing something.
Yes.
And you can see that they're trying to say something. Who knows what it is? It seemed to me that that when looking at the $1 bill's mathematics and the things that were hiding there that I knew about that had to do with the pyramid and other traditions, that there was probably a mystery school connection in at least that person's mathematics. And if so, they're probably all three of these guys were that way. And these are societies that go way back in history, and they connect to a whole lot of different mystical things and mathematics and philosophy and esoteric Christianity and all sorts of mystical ideas that hang around, have been around since before, you know, the founding of the United States, and a lot of the ideas are built into it too. So,
you know, what's fascinating?
It's a huge tradition. Yeah, and these images are intended to reach some sort of an audience.
Yes.
Some sort of a thinking audience who can look at these ideas and analyze it for themselves, what it means that this gigantic coincidence, and then on top of that, all three of these things are in Washington, D.C., in a crucial place. You know, the Oval Office is a crucial office in the White House. And the $1 bill, the basis of our currency, and then the $100 bill, which came earlier in the Hoover administration in 1929. All of these things share the same mathematics. And then FDR hired an architect to redesign the Oval Office. And when they rebuilt and replaced the Oval Office, he built all of these strange, interesting mathematical ideas into that ellipse. It's a sort of elliptical column, and it preserves things the shape, the angle, the volume of a certain dimension found in the Pyramid of Giza called the offset, which many writers have obsessed about this number because it was obviously extremely important to these guys. And so these three guys, it was apparently a sacred thing to them to hide it. And why they would hide it with such great precision is just a mystery. It's you make machines this careful. You don't. This is not normally find
yes.
this in art.
Yes. We're talking about the book, The Secret Space in the White House, based on over 40 years of research. The author is Ken McGrath, our guest on the program. Book, of course, available at Amazon. You can link on directly and get information by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Let's talk about the three men. Could you put together a connection? Do you know why these three were sort of all doing the same thing?
I don't know. Two of them we know must have known each other because they were both in the Treasury Department. And they undoubtedly worked in the same building. Benzing, who designed the $100 bill, appeared in 1929. But Weeks, who designed the $1 bill, had been there since at least 1900. And he retired in 1940, so he was there a whole long time. They must have known each other, you would think. And yet, there doesn't seem to be any text connecting them anywhere. The third guy, the architect, there's lots of pictures of him, and he's very well known. His name was Gugler. And he was hired by FDR, that is an outside contractor, to design the Oval Office. But the fact that these guys are all in cahoots, two government career employees, and this one outside architect is a very surprising thing. And there's no evidence that FDR knew anything about it or Hoover. These people were all independent. Now, there were a few mystical ideas that FDR had, but FDR actually interfered with the design on the $1 bill, and he obviously didn't know that there was a secret thing built into that design. It had to be rejiggered to make it work after he interfered with that, the placement of the opposite sides of the seal. But it definitely it's an 80-year-old conspiracy. It's been sitting there for a long time, and I'm sure other people have looked at it for one reason or another. But as far as I know, I'm the only one that's written anything about it.
And that's in the book.
It was meant to be found.
That's what you say, and you wonder, what is this? Is this some mystical society they're talking about, some vague message, philosophical message? What are they trying to get across? When you stumble across this, what do they hope that you take from that?
Well, one of the things that they did with the cross-section of the north and south cross-section of the Oval Office is they hid 1.936. Which, if you look at other places, such as on the dollar bill and in the Oval Office and in elsewhere, you find there's 1936 is a special date that they were trying to talk about or say something about. And one of the characters, there's a fourth character, which is not very well known. He founded a philosophical school in 1936. So these guys may have been sort of making a esoteric advertisement for them, let's put it that way. And that's the Lemurian Fellowship was founded in 1936. The date is based on a date supposedly found in the Pyramid of Giza's prophetic timeline, which has been, there's much been written about that many years ago.
What's so impressive is it was done so meticulously with such precision.
Yes.
It wasn't really sort of this vague idea they all were going to follow. It was very precise, wasn't it?
Yes, and like I say, except the proximity of them, there isn't any connection that I can see, let alone they're not well-known people. I've only found one photograph of Benzing, who designed the $100 bill, and one photograph of Weeks, who designed the $1 bill. Gugler is pretty well known, and he actually married a famous dancer, Isadora Duncan. So, you know, there's all kinds of, this is a big thing that was going on at that time in New York. And in the Washington area, but the delicacy and the hidden aspect of this is surprising, and that they would all be connected, and they seem to come from such odd different places. So, and they connected three things together, which you wouldn't imagine would be connected in any way.
It's like you've got all of the pieces of the puzzle together except the why. How difficult is it not to have that? I'm assuming your research is going on to this day, trying to tie it all together and find out why.
Well, I had to absolutely throw out a whole bunch of stuff in my book and not show it, because it struck me as too far-fetched to figure out any way to explain it. You'd have to go into it for a long time, but they were trying to say something that had to do with either philosophical truths or an announcement of this philosophical school, or they were trying to get people interested in the mystical beginnings of the United States. And if you take the 222 number, which I won't go into it right now, but it has an eightfold. It appears two times in each guy's work. 222 appears two times in each guy's work, so there's an eightfold form of this. And if you add them all up, it's 1776. So they built themselves around the Declaration of Independence idea very, very deeply. And this is their code. And you would never expect or think that any of these things would be connected in such an odd way.
Well, you talk as well about the possible connection mathematically to the Ark of the Covenant. We've got a few minutes left in the program. You talk about that because that's fascinating as well.
Yeah, years ago someone had measured the inside of the coffer in the King's Chamber, which a lot of people thought was where a mummy might be. It's not the right shape for a mummy, but what they did notice is the dimensions are very similar to the description in the Bible of the Ark of the Covenant in terms of its dimensions. And there was a guy named Adam Rutherford, I think, who made a wooden model of the Ark of the Covenant to scale and put it into the coffer, and it fit within like a quarter of an inch all the way around. But the interesting thing about this is the coffer so badly battered by tourists who wanted souvenirs that you couldn't measure it? Well, I found the dimensions of the original coffer in a French researcher's book that came from the time of Napoleon, and all in metric. And when you take the interior volume and divide it into the King's Chamber, you find that the same number as the offset number is used as a proportion. And so whatever it was that the Hebrews took out of Egypt that had the same shape has some sort of a huge tradition that goes back to perhaps possibly before Egyptian times. The thing that was the coffer in the pyramid is too big to go through the doorways of the pyramid. So they built it into the pyramid and built the room around it to have this proportion, which is celebrated all throughout the pyramid as a dimension. So there's some sort of a vague, whatever it was that this ark was, this box, was some sort of probably a reliquary, and it was a reliquary for the Hebrew people where they put the Ten Commandments and other manna from the time of Moses. But they're supposed to have magic properties or something, which nobody knows much about, but the Bible's full of that tradition. You don't see anything of that tradition in the pyramid, but there is this mathematical tradition in the pyramid which connects this very solidly to that box and that shape. So there's more to it. So there's more to that. I've only pulled up one little corner of this. You know, there's much more to it.
That's what, as it slowly unravels over time, in this case over 42 years of time, and you suggest you sort of take this a little bit at a time, different pieces at a time, and that's how you need to go about this, because there is so much there. Ken McGrath has been our guest on the program. Now, his first book is The Sacred Geometry of the Dollar. You'll also find that at Amazon, the book we're talking about. The second book is The Secret Space in the White House. Ken McGrath, and that's M-C-G-R-A-T-H. Ken, are you working on another book with new information?
There are elements that I'm trying to figure out how to, if I'm going to do a second edition of
yes.
the second book, I will probably try to add those, because once the far-fetchedness wears off of some of the things that were going on there, I mean, there's all sorts of little things that we don't, you know, you don't think of anything about the gold and silver coins of the United States, but they're built into the same pattern of pyramid mathematics and this 1776 numerical pattern. That's part of the gold and silver ratio of the United States since 1837. There's all sorts of stuff hiding around.
This is just an amazing story, an amazing book, The Secret Space in the White House. Ken McGrath has been our guest on the program. Book, as I say, and his first book, The Secret Geometry of the Dollar, available at Amazon. If you go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, you can link on directly to the Amazon site with Ken's books. Ken, this has really been fascinating. A pleasure having you with us on the program. Hopefully we can do this again when you do the second edition of the Secret Space in the White House. Thank you so much for being with us on the program today.
Well, thank you very much. I've enjoyed it.
Thank you. Ken McGrath, author of The Secret Space in the White House. You're listening to This Week in America, and we're back after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.